So with that being said, good morning, New Life, in our Lenten series called Reclaiming Grace. We're going to spend the next several weeks, as long as it takes, to reclaim the grace that God would have us have. It's just crazy because grace is the most misunderstood and underestimated gift from God that He just freely gives. I want to give you just a few foundational truths that we've given thus far. I love this statement from Brennan Manning. I want you to hold on to this. God loves you as you are, not as you should be. Because nobody is as they should be. Hold on to that truth. God loves you for who you are, not as you should be. Because nobody is as they should be. David Guzik, a great scholar, he really speaks in a language I can understand. He too has a truth. Grace that does not change your life does not change your destiny. So I took the liberty of marrying both of those, that we would understand grace in a whole new way. It really is an injustice that has been done to Jesus Christ. That His work on the cross was great. I mean, honestly, we would not have a gospel if it wasn't for grace. We would not have a cross if it wasn't for grace. We would not have an empty tomb if it wasn't for grace. We would not be saved if it were not for grace. We have to understand this. It's something that Jesus so freely gives us. And it just kind of sits there, and we just can't go on that way. So I've married the two things together. Grace is the undeserved love God lavished upon me that changed my life and my destiny. Pastor Mario Marchio says it really simple. Jesus is grace, and grace is Jesus. There you go. Grace, as we covered last week, is the person and work of Jesus Christ. This week, we're going to take it a step further. See, those are just three flavors of grace. We're going to add a fourth. That grace is sufficient. Grace is enough. God tells us, all you need is me. I'm enough. No matter what the problem is, my grace is greater. Today we take a look at that grace is strength found in Jesus Christ. If we take a look at 2 Timothy 2:1, I really get this gives a whole new dimension to grace. It's something that we feel we receive, but all of a sudden we're going to be receiving strength from God. Not God's strength, not anything we muster up, but take a look at this. Grace is strength found in Christ. In 2 Timothy 2:1, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Strength. Boy, think about that for just a minute. One of our favorite passages is Philippians 4:13, that I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me, right? This puts a whole new level to that. This really explains that. You can actually say that in my weakness, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me through His grace. Paul is telling Timothy, and he's telling you and me as well, you don't need to rely on your strength. It's just, you don't have what it takes. The strength that comes from the grace that's found in Jesus Christ is all you need. No matter the difficulty, no matter the weakness, no matter the trial, God's grace is greater. The issue, the problem, is that in America today, the self-made man or the self-made person is thought to be some kind of, a cultural hero. sometimes even worshiped as a god. I mean, through this lens, Christianity is seen as a crutch for the weak. We're taught at a very, very young age to seek out this fierce independence and not a dependence upon God. Matter of fact, it's viewed as anything less than this strength, self-made person. Anything less than that is considered weak and wimpy, weird. Therefore, what do? We're in the world. Therefore, what do? We hide. We hide our weaknesses. We cover them up. We excuse them. We justify them. How can God fix something that we're not acknowledging? Really? In short, our culture celebrates strengths and condemns weaknesses. This self-sufficient mindset, this way of life, is a significant obstacle to God's grace. It's in the way. How can we embrace the grace of God if we don't think we need it or won't admit we do? I mean, this really is the issue. God's power works best in our weakness, but we don't want to admit our weaknesses to God or anyone else. I love what Kyle Eidelman wrote here. The basic theme of the book of Grace is Greater. Kyle says, he makes a great point. We're able to receive God's grace only to the extent that we are able to recognize our need for it. He says it another way, and take a look at this. We're never in a better position to experience grace than the moment you realize you don't have what it takes. That's when grace is strongest. That's when God's power has been made perfect. Is when the very moment we realize that we don't have what it takes, but God does. Church, this is so counterculture, but yet it's so biblically true. The Apostle Paul had been given access to heavenly truths through visions and revelations from the Lord. Actually, being caught up into heaven and experienced truth that no man knows. Paul was connected, if you will. He knew more than anyone else could. But we see in our focus scripture today in slide 4, in 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10, we take a look at really what kept him close to God. What kept him in need of Jesus. What humbled him. Therefore, in order to keep me from being conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Jesus says, "All you need is me." Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Everyone wants to know what Paul's thorn was. What was bugging him? What was this thorn in his flesh? Scholars have discussed this for hundreds of years, and therefore there are hundreds of opinions about it. The truth of the matter is we don't know. We don't. Some think that it was an illness like epilepsy or maybe even arthritis. Some think it was a problem with Paul's eyes. Still others think that the thorn in his side was temptation. I like this one. Some think it was a person that drove him crazy. I think that the description of Paul's thorn, I think this is significant. I think that the description of Paul's thorn is so vague. It's so that we can look upon that scripture and say, I can relate to that. We can look at that and say, you know what, I got a thorn too. I prayed that Lord would take this from me. My thorn in the side is blank. We can fill in that blank very easily. Everybody's got a need, right? Everybody's got a need for Jesus. To me, it doesn't matter what the thorn was. My question, why didn't God just take it away? Why didn't he take it away? He asked three times. I'm sure he asked very nicely. Please, please, remove this thorn from my side. Why didn't God take it away? Got other questions. Is God still God when he says no? Does God still love me when he says no? The truth of the matter is, he loves you enough to say no. He knew that Paul needed that, or he would become conceited. He would become proud. And pride? I mean, if you looked at that, my thorn is blank, 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 and you can't think of something, put pride in there. Fill in the blank. Let's face it, there's some things in our lives that are never going to go away. I don't say that to depress you. You'll find that you'll be able to delight in that in a little bit. In your weakness, his grace is enough for you. His grace is greater than whatever you're experiencing. Whatever it is, God's grace is greater. I mean, the hard biblical truth is that we need to need Jesus for grace to abound. Our complete surrender, our complete gut-level honesty with God, with our weakness. Jesus, I don't have what it takes. It's necessary to say that, really, to fully experience God's grace as we know it today. Strength found in Christ. So you don't have what it takes. You're in pretty good company. Moses, he didn't have what it took. Flat told God that. You got the wrong guy. You went Aaron, right? Gideon, seriously, you want me to fight them with 300 warriors? You know there's 25,000 of them, right? Paul calls himself the least of the apostles, tells us that he has a thorn in his side, something in the way, a weakness. God wants us to find unlimited strength in him. Moses, his stutter didn't affect his leadership, did it? He turned into the greatest leader of Israel. Gideon, with 300 men, won the war because he had grace. He had the power of God. His limitations didn't stand in the way. It enabled God to work. It made his power perfect in his weakness. Same goes with Paul, with his thorn in his side. Yet over half of the New Testament is written by Paul, the least of the apostles, calls himself the chief of sinners. Wow. He evangelized that the gospel, the good news, would go all over the world. Because of his work, we are saved. He was not a great communicator. He didn't have great talent. He had a weakness that made God's power perfect. Grace. That's grace. We must acknowledge our limitations to be liberated. I've got a story for you and some visual aid here as well. Phil Hansen is a very successful artist. You may have seen him on TED Talks and different places like that. He's taken art to a whole new level. He really has. He's inspired millions and millions of people. But the road to success has been filled with extreme difficulties. You see, for years, Phil was a desired artist. And he was pointillism is how he worked. Here's an example of this. We have a local artist, Judy Crystal, that sent this card this year. There's not a straight line in this whole thing. There's not a shade, nothing. Millions of little dots. Painstakingly put on there. Precisely put on there. To have this beautiful picture. In slide 5, we'll see an example of his work. Notice the size. It there's his thumb. But that's Phil Hansen. That was his career. That's what he did. Little bitty points to make beautiful pictures. Phil Hansen was a man in demand. It is sad to say that the many years of making those little bitty perfect precise little dots had taken its toll. The little precise dots now looked like tadpoles because his hand was like this. Permanent nerve damage. What do I do? This is my livelihood. This is really who I am. It's what I do. It's how I make a living. So he took things in his own hands. And he quit art. I can't do that anymore. Tadpoles are not going to work as a pointillist. It's what he went to school for. So he did what he knew. Gave up. But art was so close to his heart, he just couldn't really change who he was. So he goes to the doctor, and he went to the neurologist in hoping that the neurologist would be able to remove this thorn from his side. I mean, maybe there's some medications, maybe there's something that I can go back to making beautiful things. After a bunch of tests and so forth, the neurologist said, you know what, I can't physically fix this for you. I can't do anything for you. But then the doctor said something profound. He says, how about you embrace the shake? Embrace the shake. I never thought of that. Embrace the weakness. He went home. And he got a pencil and he just started letting the hand do whatever he wants. And he created his most fantastic work ever. The most inspired work ever. The most powerful work ever in his weakness. Amazing things started to happen. His weakness became his strength. He knew he could do this. I can write that so I can do this. Remember the little bitty picture that he would work on? Look at this. He does these things on a grand scale. He doesn't limit himself to just a pen. He embraces the shake. He embraces his weakness. He made a Mona Lisa as tall as our ceiling with hamburger grease. I mean, this is crazy. It's beautiful. It smells delicious. He embraced his weakness. This holds true to our Christian walk as well. We need to embrace our weakness to be made strong in Christ. I'm not telling you to embrace your sin. I'm telling you to embrace your need for grace. Don't reside in your sin. Reside in the strength of Jesus Christ. The weaker we are, the stronger we discover God to be. In my weakness, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me with his grace. Paul embraced his weakness as well. In fact, he delighted in it. You know, when life makes us wobbly, embrace the shake. Embrace the shake. You know, our weakness, we are made strong. Our ultimate limitations brings about our ultimate liberation. We don't know what Paul's thorn was. Doesn't matter. It could have been temptation. It could have been a person. It could have been an illness. It could have been a shake. It was a weakness of some sort. And I want you to answer this out loud. This is between you and Jesus, okay? What's your weakness? What's at the heart of your difficulties? What thorn has God left with you, no matter how much you begged? I need you to mentally fill in the blank. My weakness is. This is between you and Jesus. Filling in the blank tells Jesus that you need him. There may be several, but at the root of every one of those weaknesses is our need. And I say our because me too, is our need for grace, our need for Jesus. It may be a spiritual thing. It may be a physical thing. It may be an anxiety, an addiction, a person, an attitude. Or it could be something that you lack, patience and love or discipline. Everyone has a weakness. Everyone needs God's strength. That artist that we were talking about, Phil Hansen, says, we need to become limited in order to be made limitless. If you can't think of one thing right now, you can't think of one thing that, one weakness that you have, put down pride. That would be the weakness, if you can't think of one thing. Today we're celebrating the means of grace communion. There is absolutely no better time than this to address our need for grace, to address our need for Jesus. I want you to come up the center aisle and receive the elements. You'll have two things here. You'll have one cup with bread and one cup with juice. This is the body broken for you. This is the blood shed for you. This is grace. Take the elements back to your seat. I want you to reflect upon your need. Here at the Church of the Nazarene, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are welcome to take part in this beautiful means of grace, communion. Oh, far be it for us to withhold that from any believer. Let's just sit back and reflect a bit on your weakness. Confess it unto the Lord. Reflect upon what Jesus Christ has done for you. Reflect upon his grace. This series on grace is not just so you would know what grace is, although that is helpful. The series, God put it on my heart a year and a half ago to study, and experience this grace. Yes, experience this grace. Personally, now reflect upon that. Right now, church, you're in the best position, actually, to experience grace. Because we have come to realize that we don't have what it takes, and nobody does. We've come to know that God loves us as we are, not as we should be, because no one is as they should be. We've come to know grace. It is actually the person and work of Jesus Christ, which is represented by what you have in your hands right now. The body broken for you and the blood shed for you. Reflect upon that. Acknowledge your weakness. Look into the eyes of Jesus right now, eyes closed and head bowed. Show him what you mentally filled out. My weakness is, Jesus, I need you. I need you. I need your strength. It's found in your grace. I don't have what it takes, but you do. Look into his eyes. Acknowledge that. Amen. Amen. We take a look at this. And this is sufficient. This is sufficient. This is grace. We cannot add to his work. We cannot add to the blood shed for our sins. We can't make it any better. We can't take anything away from it either. This church is sufficient for you. This is God's power made perfect in you. Oh, it's amazing. 2 Corinthians 12:9 and 10. I want you to personalize that. Take verse 9 and make it your own. Receive it as if Jesus Christ is talking directly to you, okay? Receive that. Say that with me. But he said to me, man, that's beautiful. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Jesus Christ just spoke that to you through his word, the power of his spirit. He's talking to you. Now, in verse 10, I want you to repeat it after me. Personalize this scripture as if you were talking to Jesus, acknowledging your weakness. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Take and eat. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood, which was poured out for you. Take and drink and celebrate his grace. No matter the weakness, Jesus is all you need. Amen. Now go and walk in that grace. Walk in that strength. Because in your weakness, you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you with his grace. Amen? And amen.